I'm John Batchelor with my colleague, Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS News, visiting Professor Dickinson College, Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy, Ukraine. We begin in Congress. It's not a war-fighting area, but it's critical to understand why the vote has not happened yet to support Ukraine. They're not being shy about saying we're out of air defense, we're out of ammunition, we're out of people. Yesterday or the day before, there was even a report they're out of transport for their wounded from the battlefront. And Congress has not moved. And Jeff, at this point, I'm not going to be cynical, but I'm going to say the past is prologue. Right now, Congress is in the hands of the Republicans who don't want to move. That's why these separate votes. Are they ignoring the facts, Jeff? If Ukraine falls, well, the outcome is unpredictable, but it would certainly not be positive for NATO. What is your measure of Congress at this moment?
Well, it's dysfunctional, John, particularly on the Republican side, and it's splintered. I mean, it's shocking to see that all of the senior Republican members of the House who are chairman of various committees have come out publicly strongly in favor of a vote, and a vote immediately in favor of military aid for Ukraine as well as for Israel. Mike Rogers, who's the Republican chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, and I'll read you his recent quote, "A Russian victory will embolden Kim, Xi, and the Ayatollah to confront South Korea, Taiwan, Israel, and only the United States in new and fatal ways. And I fear Putin will use the victory in Ukraine as a springboard to invade Eastern Europe. We can't let that happen. We must restore American deterrence." And that's coming from one of the most senior Republicans. So the splintering of the Republican Party, making it dysfunctional, is a concern. And in the Ukraine, of course, this is enormously worrisome. Mr. Zelensky has recently said that the ratio of firing is now 10 Russian artillery rounds for one single Ukrainian response. And without this aid, this is quoting Mr. Zelensky, "We have no chance of winning, and we cannot hold our ground, and that this statistic will be getting pushed back every day."
The reports from the battlefield are all very inexact. There is something fresh in a presentation that I've been reading about Kharkiv, the second largest city, cutting it off in some fashion, power, electricity, water, supplies, and that city in surrendering would be a huge victory for Putin. Are they in place to do that, Jeff? Are Kharkiv's defenses firm, or are they struggling the way they are on the other side of the Dnieper?
No, I think they're struggling, John. And there's been some suggestion the Russians have a tactic or a goal of making Kharkiv unlivable. Their missile capabilities and focus has been on destroying infrastructure, particularly energy infrastructure. Recently, President Zelensky noticed there was an attack on a major thermal power plant. 11 Russian missiles were fired at it. The Ukrainians were able to destroy the first seven, but then ran out of air defense missiles and just had to absorb the following four, which continues then to reduce energy capabilities all across the country. And the Russians are further trying to conduct that ground offensive in the Donetsk Basin to isolate Kharkiv, as you suggest, as well as a little farther south, trying to capture a city called Chasiv Yar, and do that by the 9th of May. 9th of May, of course, being the anniversary of the victory by the Soviet Union over Germany in the Second World War, all Victory Day in Russia, always a day of great celebration. So not only do I think you're right, they're trying to isolate, perhaps even capture Kharkiv and Chasiv-Yar, they're trying to do that by that anniversary so Putin can tout that particular success.
NATO, you're a veteran of NATO, so I report that the Stoltenberg Initiative is $100 billion to rearm NATO to prepare for the future and also to help Ukraine in the fight ahead. I also mentioned that there's a big meeting come July in Washington where a new Secretary General must be chosen. And here's what I understand, Jeff. Everybody's on board with Rutte, the longtime serving Prime Minister of the Netherlands, except Hungary, Slovakia, Romania, and Turkey, who recommend a Secretary General from the Eastern Wing. That would be the front line against Russia. And in Klaus Iohannis of Romania, the president is recommended. Does that strike you as a good idea to move east and not have another Western European lead NATO?
Yes, it does, John. I think it underscores, in many ways, sort of a shift in the center of gravity in NATO eastward. And particularly with the conflict in Ukraine, we have seen an assertiveness by countries like Poland in particular, the Baltic republics collectively. And there will be, I think, support for this idea of moving eastward from the most recent members, that being Sweden and Finland. But I think it would send a very firm statement of unity of NATO and unity of purpose in the face of Russian aggression. And more, I think we're finding Europeans having to confront what may be for them a rather difficult reality. And that is, how are they going to come together to defend Ukraine against this continued assault by the Russian Federation and further deter Russia in future against striking their countries as well, if in fact the United States fails to live up to its responsibilities as the so-called leader of the alliance?
Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS News, Dickinson College, Diamond 6 Leadership and Strategy. I'm John Beck.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,